The Giants set a record with clutch pinch-hit homers. Logan Webb twirls another gem, and Kevin Gausman continues to struggle.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the San Francisco Giants having a spectacular weekend in Oakland, a series that could have been ugly, a series that could have been one of the Giants' worst of the year, turns into one of their best of the year. And it has everything to do with these pinch hit home runs that they were able to hit. So on today's show, we're going to talk about three things we learned this weekend. I would say the number one thing had to do with those pinch hit home runs that turned these games around. And we also learned, you know, Logan Webb just continued his breakout season and Kevin Gausman continued to struggle. So we'll get into all of that today. But the first thing I want to talk about is these pinch hit home runs, because they were historical. And what the Giants did in back-to-back games was unprecedented in the history of the game, unbelievably. So on Saturday, you all know what happened. Lamont Wade Jr. pinch hitting for Darren Ruff. And this is a big part of what I want to talk about right now, is that Gabe Kapler made a difficult decision to pinch hit for a player who had homered in his last at bat. And he uses Lamont Wade Jr. against a right-handed pitcher, Lou Trevino. But the point is, it's not easy to take out a guy who had just homered in his last at bat, but the Giants are committed to their platoon system and it's a tough call. And if Wade had grounded into a double play that ended the game, I think there would have been a lot of pushback on the decision to take out Ruff, who obviously has a ton of power. But what ended up happening, of course, was Mr. Wade Jr. hit a go-ahead two-run homer in that ninth inning that gave the Giants a one-run lead, and Jake McGee held on in the bottom of the ninth to give the Giants the win. So then on Sunday, it was almost the exact same story with Donovan Solano this time, and this time it happening in the eighth inning. So the story goes, as I pull up the box score here, so Austin Slater pinch hit for Tommy La Stella in the plate appearance prior. And, you know, what's interesting there is it's not a straight swap. Austin Slater does not play second base where Tommy La Stella plays. And so to make that move, it's just that nobody else really does what the Giants are doing here with all the pinch hitting. And, you know, we all know the story. So Slater draws the walk. Solano comes up next, pinch hitting for Wade Jr., who had hit the clutch home run the other day. So again, not necessarily an easy thing to do, take out a guy who's been so money for you and put in somebody else. But Solano makes his manager look very good with a two-run homer that gives the Giants the lead. So the historic part of all this is that the Giants became the first team ever with pinch hit home runs in the eighth inning or later that took them from trailing to leading in consecutive games. I know that is such a mouthful, but when you think about it, it's pretty incredible that they were able to do that two games in a row, and no team has ever done that before. If it was ever going to happen to a team, though, it would make sense that this would be the team, because the Giants pinch hit so much, and it's not just the traditional form of pinch hitting, which used to be, you know, just pinch hitting for the pitcher spot. This Giants team, this was in an American League park that this happened. You know, there's no pitcher to pinch hit for. The Giants just, they're able to, like, late in a game when the A's or whatever team brings in a reliever, the Giants are able to go pinch hit, pinch hit, pinch hit, pinch hit, and get the platoon advantage, like, four at-bats in a row. And they do this frequently, and it doesn't always work, But the point is, it only has to work, you know, one more time than it otherwise would for it to be worthwhile. But it's been more advantageous than that. I mean, the Giants, as I pull up some numbers here, they have 14 pinch hit home runs, which leads the major leagues and is already tied with the 2001 team for the most by a San Francisco team since 1974. I thought that, as I read that note, I thought that 14 was a San Francisco Giants record, and, you know, one more and they would break that. And then also in this series, the Giants scored all 9 of their runs via the home run. And according to Elias Sports Bureau, this was just the third time since the Giants moved to San Francisco that they scored at least 5 runs in a 3-game series, and all came from homers. So it's unbelievable what they're doing, but it's also not that surprising. That's weird to say. It's unbelievable and not that surprising. But the point is, this is why they're good, and they're constantly getting that advantage, and they have power thanks to, you know, some of the players they've targeted, but also some of the adjustments that the hitting coaches have helped the hitters make. Like, Lamont Wade Jr. credited Donnie Ecker, who he said Ecker was in his ear prior to that plate appearance, that pinch hit home run in the 9th, and Ecker was telling him basically what exactly to look for from Trevino, and he got it and he didn't miss it. That's the thing that's so impressive too, is they're getting the pitches that they're looking for. Like Solano said, he was looking for a fastball in, which is exactly what he got. But not only are they getting that pitch, which is a credit to Ecker and the preparation that they do prior to each game and each at bat, really, but the fact that they're able to put their best number one A swing on it and hit it out of the ballpark is incredible. So it was, again, looking like it was going to be a frustrating series loss for the Giants, or at least, you know, they could have been swept in the series because they lose on Friday, and then each of Saturday and Sunday looked like games that they would probably lose. And on Saturday in particular, partially due to Kevin Gausman having another shaky outing, it was just looking like an ugly game for the Giants. Game started out with a 3-base error by Wilmer Flores, and that run, of course, scored, and the A's got several runs in that first inning. But they turn it all around, and they end up winning 2 out of 3, winning, I think, 4 out of 6 against the A's on the season, so they get that trophy that nobody really cares about. But the Giants improved to 80-44, and the Dodgers, who had won 9 in a row, finally lost on Sunday. And so the Giants were able to gain a game and push them back to 2.5 back. So coming up next, we'll talk about a couple other things we learned this weekend. We're going to talk about Logan Webb having another gem, Kevin Gausman struggling again, and then some roster moves, and then the upcoming pitching plans in New York. So stay tuned for that. But first, I want to talk about Molecule Mattress. I share a bed with a pro quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. I should explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a Molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they are spot on. I'm no elite athlete. I do play slow pitch softball, but that's a little bit different. And I do have some sleep issues. I sometimes wake up really hot. I sometimes sweat through the sheets. And so Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. Cool to the touch. That's so important to me, as I said, sweating through the sheets sometimes. It's not like any other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and Ben Caspick get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about the second thing we learned this weekend, and it was just that Logan Webb continues this dominant run that he's been on. Logan Webb on Sunday pitching against his, you know, childhood favorite team, the Oakland A's, goes out there and just twirls another gem, a Webb gem, as has become standard for Logan Webb, who now has gone 12 straight starts, allowing 2 earned runs or fewer. I looked all over the place this morning and I couldn't find anybody writing about this, but I'm pretty sure that that's at least a San Francisco Giants record, 12 straight starts allowing 2 earned runs or fewer. Maybe I'm just missing it, but I didn't see anybody writing about this. Because I remember 11 straight tied the record, and so 12 is the record. I may be misremembering that, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. And Kevin Gausman earlier in the year also went 11. So Webb passed him yesterday, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Just another fabulous outing for Webb, whose season numbers now are just great. I mean, he's got a 2.84 ERA, 3.10 fielding independent pitching, 2.83 expected fielding independent pitching, 3.41 expected ERA. We could go on and on with all these numbers, but you've seen it. I mean, he's completely transformed into a guy with utter confidence and poise and pace and an ability to just attack the zone with all of his pitches. And to me, I say this on Twitter a lot, but to those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, which you should, at Ben Kaspic, KASPICK. And if you're watching this on YouTube, by the way, and you can, these shows are now on YouTube. Locked On Giants is free and on every platform. But anyway, on Twitter, I've been pointing out how the slider to me is the most impressive aspect of what Logan Webb is doing right now, because we didn't necessarily see that coming. I think in spring training, all the talk was about the changeup, and you know, he always had a good two-seam fastball up to mid-90s with big downward and arm side movement. And the changeup, I mean, is a similar movement, maybe a little more straight down, but obviously slower. But to me, the slider has just become a devastating and very, very effective pitch for Logan Webb in a couple of different ways. He can flip it over for strikes. He can throw it for called strikes, and he can also throw it off the plate away from righties and get them to chase. And part of what's so effective about that pitch, and I put this out actually this morning also on Twitter, thanks to Rob Friedman, I'm forgetting his name, the pitching ninja, right? On Twitter, showing an overlay of Webb throwing a slider and throwing a sinker. So basically, he takes the video of those two different pitches and overlays them on top of each other. And you can see that they both come in on the same plane, same tunnel. They're coming in at a similar like angle and on a tunnel, right? On like this, a similar line. And then the slider takes a left turn and the sinker takes a right turn. This is the view from behind the pitcher. And so that as a hitter is just extremely tough to deal with because they look like the same pitch coming in like almost half the way to the plate. And then they just cut in opposite directions very sharply. So that's part of what makes Webb so effective. And like when you see guys chasing a slider several, you know, up to a foot or more off the plate away as a right-handed hitter, it's because they're probably thinking it's going to break into them and it's hard for them to tell what it's going to do. And so he's just been able to mix those two pitches together really effectively. And then as Kapler noted after the game, when he's become so effective with those two pitches, his changeup becomes that much more effective because guys aren't necessarily looking for it. And it's a different wrinkle to throw into an already very effective mix. So Logan Webb, 24 years old, breaking out this season as not just a reliable major league player, but legitimately one of the better pitchers in the league right now. And we keep saying this after every single start, and he just keeps building off of this. So at some point, he's going to allow more than 2 earned runs, but you know, let the good times roll. Young Logan Webb just doing a fabulous job. So congratulations to him. And I look forward to every single one of his starts now. And I think Giants fans do in general. So he's just done a great job establishing himself here. And The question is being posed, and I think rightfully so, if the Giants had to play a must-win game, who would you want on the mound, and would it be Logan Webb? And I think that's a fair question, given the struggles of Kevin Gausman and the inconsistency and or injuries to other Giants starters. So we'll talk next about Kevin Gausman, who just had another rough outing on Saturday. Wilmer Flores did not help him out starting out that first inning. Like I said, with the three base error, it should have been a routine kind of out to ground out to third, but Flores threw it away. Brandon Belt didn't make a great play on it either. He probably should have caught it. But regardless, Gausman, it was just more of the same. He wasn't able to locate his fastball up. Like, consistently, he was trying to throw the pitch up, and he was just pulling it down. And it's just a much less effective pitch when it's down in the zone. So Gausman goes 3 2/3, allows 6 hits, 5 runs, only 2 earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. He threw at least 1 wild pitch, which scored a run. Yeah, 1 wild pitch. He's just not been sharp. And this is now, we're going on, it's been over a month since his first bad start was at Dodger Stadium on July 19th. And since that time, since July 19th, he's made 7 starts and he has a 5.17 ERA. Before that game, he made 18 starts and had a 1.73 ERA. So it's not all about ERA. I mean, the peripherals are much worse too. He had a 2.57 fielding independent pitching prior to that start in LA and 4.03 afterwards. So I was trying to look at the numbers and figure out exactly what's been going on. I think honestly, just watching him pitch, it's easier to tell than by looking at the numbers. He's just not had the same type of command. He had impeccable command with the fastball and the splitter basically all year prior to July 19th and all of last year, able to locate the fastball up and in good spots and able to locate that splitter down below the zone and flip over the changeup for called strikes. So thankfully it's August 23rd and not September 23rd, and he's going to have, you know, like 8 more starts to figure this thing out. But as of now, it is a concern. And you start to wonder, like, the contract that he's going to get is very much going to be affected by how he closes out this season. So that's going to be something to watch down the stretch here. One quote from Gausman after that game, he said, "I definitely haven't been as sharp as I was early in the season. My split is still really good, but I feel like it hasn't had that extra little bite towards the end. Whereas usually I get a swing and a miss, maybe I'm getting more foul balls. The book is out on me. I think guys know what they're going to get. If I'm not on, they can do a good job of fouling off pitches." So that was an eye-popping quote, an eye-opening quote to hear a pitcher say the book is out on me. That's not the type of confidence I want to hear. So, you know, I like Kevin Gausman he's not like a flashy guy. He's kind of a down-to-earth, soft-spoken, humble guy. So I'm not going to read too much into that and make a big fuss about it, but it was just eye-opening to hear him kind of concede that the book is out on him. But I'm not sure he means I'm just bad now. He just means they know what I'm trying to do. And if I'm not sharp, then advantage hitter. So anyway, that's that. And coming up next, we're going to talk about the third thing we learned this weekend. It has to do with roster moves. We had a couple players placed on the IL, and we have tentative pitching plans for the Giants in New York to take on the Mets starting on Tuesday. So all of that is coming up next. But first, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone, and when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. We have a Locked On group chat on Twitter, and I can't tell you how often we're debating the best Built Bar flavors. It seriously is something that comes up all the time, and these guys at Built Bar are our friends. They send us Built Bars. It's just a great relationship we have with them. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange. It just goes on and on. My favorite flavor is German chocolate. It's just one of my favorites. But they're all good, I promise you that. And something that's really important to me about the Built Bar is that they are healthy too. I honestly wouldn't be eating them if they weren't so low in sugar. I don't want to eat a protein bar that is a candy bar. I want to eat one that tastes like a candy bar, but is actually healthy. And that's what Built Bar is able to deliver. So you can go to, first I want to tell you, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Bucks and Dallas Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about the third thing we learned this weekend. It's all about the roster moves that the Giants made and also talking about their tentative pitching plans in New York to take on the Mets, which I'm a little bit concerned about, frankly. So the roster moves that the Giants made prior to Sunday's game was that they placed Evan Longoria and Anthony DeSclafani on the injured list, and Jay Jackson and Sammy Long were added back to the Major League roster. Longoria was placed on the COVID IL, but it was because of vaccine side effects. Apparently, I don't know if this was speculation or what, but I think he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is now some places are giving booster shots of mRNA vaccines. And so I think he got a second one, and that's what's going on there. Second vaccine having side effects. Another roster move was that Reyes Maranta was returned from his rehab assignment. It's like, okay, get excited. But he was optioned to AAA after that. So you can't just keep guys on rehab assignments forever. I guess Maranta's time was up, but they don't feel confident enough in him that they exercised, you know, one of his minor league options to send him to AAA. So he could be added back at some point. He's, you know, he's not on a rehab assignment anymore, but he is currently in AAA, I suppose, working on some things. Last time I checked, the numbers were not good in AAA for Maranta. But Evan Longoria, he didn't start, I don't think, any of the games in Oakland. Yeah, he didn't start any of the games in Oakland. And it had to do with the fact that he was hit in the hand swinging at that pitch against Edwin Diaz in the last game against the Mets. So Evan Longoria, the fact that he was placed on the COVID IL, I think maybe they're manipulating the system again a little bit, because with the COVID IL, there's no, you know, when it's a vaccine side effect, you don't have to be on it for some number of days. Whereas with the normal 10-day injured list, you have to spend 10 days on the injured list before you can return. So I suppose they feel like he's probably ready to come back soon. And I don't want to necessarily just speculate that that's what's happening. He very well may have gotten the vaccine, but maybe he could have. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, maybe he can play on Tuesday, whereas if they put him on the normal injured list, he wouldn't be able to play for like another week. But Longoria being on the IL, it forces the Giants to change up the way that they field their team. And to me, the most significant impact is on the defense. And we saw this with Wilmer Flores in the game on Saturday, the first play of the game, setting the tone for the Giants with a three base error. This is what I'm talking about when I said it could have been an ugly weekend, because the Giants didn't exactly play clean baseball for a lot of the time. I mean, with the wild pitch from Gausman that scored a run, and Gausman just being shaky in general, the three base error by Wilmer Flores. These were some ugly games, but the Giants bounced back. But the point is about Longoria. So Wilmer Flores started at third base on Friday and on Saturday. Let me just double check that. No, on Saturday, I'm tripping. This says Sunday. On Saturday and Sunday, it was actually Chris Bryant starting at third base. No, oh my gosh, I'm all over the place. It's because they're moving around, so I'm seeing third base next to Bryant, but he started in right field and then moved to third base. Yeah, Flores started at third base on Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday, Bryant started at third base. But to me, I don't want to throw him under the bus too much, but Wilmer Flores, I don't have a lot of confidence when the ball is hit to him at third base. The arm just looks like a weak arm, not just in the velocity sense, but in a command with the throws type of sense. I just don't have a lot of faith that he can get that ball where he wants it to go when he's throwing from third base. So Longoria coming back, I've been always pushing that Longoria against right-handed pitching maybe shouldn't be starting, but because of his defense, I might take that back, because the Giants don't have many other great options, except you can go with Bryant and mix up the outfield. Like Darren Ruff probably deserves to play more, even against right-handed pitching. So the point is they give themselves a lot of options, so that's a good thing. But it'll be good to have Longoria back. They're undoubtedly a better team when he's at least available to pinch hit. You know, just not even having him in general is definitely a negative. DeSclafani going on the IL to me is more of a longer-term concern, because I think Longoria is going to come back soon, possibly as soon as Tuesday. But DeSclafani tried to throw a bullpen session and was visibly frustrated, apparently. He wasn't really able to drive off that right ankle, which is necessary. When you're a pitcher, you have to be able to drive off that drive leg. That's where they get, I mean, all of their power is coming from the foot up, right? Like at that point, when they're getting ready to throw a pitch, all of their weight is on that ankle. And so you have to have, it has to not be injured, and his is. So that is a concern for me. And the Giants released their tentative pitching plans in New York against the Mets. And Sammy Long is going to start on Tuesday tentatively, as I said, Johnny Cueto on Wednesday, and then Alex Wood on Thursday. So that's not the strongest three starters that the Giants have. I get it. Sammy Long has some upside, but he hasn't really been able to maximize that upside or kind of cash in on that upside yet. And Johnny Cueto has been iffy, and Alex Wood has been iffy. So the Mets are kind of reeling in their own way. And so maybe the Giants can just continue to hit and have the bullpen come through, but that's not the strongest rotation in the world. In fact, it looks pretty shaky on paper. So the Giants' rotation down the stretch is going to be a huge factor in whether or not they're able to win the division, although they do have a pretty solid lock on a playoff spot, although, of course, anything can happen with 6 weeks remaining. One more note is about the bullpen. As I said again on Twitter, I think I tweet too much, lost among the pinch homers and Webb's gem was the Giants' bullpen having another spectacular series in Oakland. 11 and a third innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk. Their 3.14 ERA on the season is third in MLB. And since June 1st, and I'm using that date because they had a lot of turnover early on, the bullpen's 2.59 ERA is the best in baseball. So they've quietly been just such a good unit, and they don't have a lot of big names. I also mentioned on Twitter, wow, I can't believe I don't normally reference all these tweets, but I guess I just put out a lot of them that I want to talk about. But Will Smith, remember the closer Will Smith for the Giants? he left the Giants. They offered him the qualifying offer, which he rejected, signed a big deal with Atlanta, 3 years, $40 million. He's been significantly worse than Jake McGee over the last couple years, and McGee is signed with the Giants for 2 years and $5 million. He's making eight times less and has been more productive. So that's just another shrewd kind of exchange by Zaidi to not overpay for a reliever and to bring in somebody who's good on a bargain deal. And the Giants bullpen is made up of bargains left and right. Like I said, they're so productive, third best ERA on the season, but barely, you know, I don't want to, you know, celebrate small contracts, but it is just noteworthy how they're not earning a ton of money and yet they've been very productive. So that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to either be doing a crossover with the host of Locked On Mets, which is going to be fun. I've never talked to him before, or we'll be doing a mailbag. So if it's a mailbag, look out on Twitter for the prompt. I would put that out sometime today. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Also, please tell your friends, family, and fellow Giants fans about this show. Thanks again for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. You are now Locked On Giants.